we bow our heads for prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you very much for another time and opportunity you are giving to us to be in your house. We are grateful unto you for the blessings we receive, Lord, when we gather there on Sunday from the Sunday school, Lord, to the main service and the afternoon forgiveness service. Thank you for all the blessings you have given to us and the effect of the same in our lives. We are grateful unto you for watching over us since that time, students, workers, business people, travelers, your healing hands on the sick and the afflicted, your provision for our needs, your favors and mercies that we receive on a daily basis. We are grateful unto you. Once again, we are back into your house. Lord, we pray, dear God, how we appreciate the worship service and the blessings we have received from the same. Be with us as we enter into this second session of the service, Lord, which is the exhortation from your word. We ask that you bless our souls, and Lord, the things that we come to us, O God, may your spirit place them rightly in our heart. We want to thank you for joining us as you give to your servant to Benin City yesterday. We pray that you help him throughout the journey as he's behind the decks there now. May you be his strength and inspire him and give him unction of your spirit that might be of great blessing unto your people. Lord, be with him, sanctify the food that we eat, the water and everything. May everything work positively in his system. May have a wonderful stay, dear God. Thank you, dear Father. Some of your children that are still on their way, come, may you quicken their pace. Bless us together tonight. Now at the end of the service, we have every cause to glorify your name. And every garden of your saints in this city and other places, may your blessings be their portion. Thank you, eternal Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. The Lord bless you. Welcome ourselves to church in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's open our scriptures. First Peter chapter 5, the first 7 verses. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not of filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God receiveth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that may exalt you in due time. Cast not your care upon him, for he careth for you. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading and hearing of this portion of his word. Shall we please be seated? For the few minutes that we have, I just want to pass a thought across to us from two sermons. I'm reading from two places. He careth for you and he cares. Do you care? From the message, he careth for you, I want to read paragraph 31 and 32. There is only one way that you will ever be able to receive this wonderful comforter, is when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, confess your sins, repent, have Christian baptism administered to you, and a promise that God will fill you with the Holy Spirit. That is his promise. He cannot go back on that. It is his promise. I've always said If a person was thoroughly taught and was repented and from their hearts had believed on God with all that was within them, when they are baptized, immediately the Holy Spirit will come upon them, because He promised to do so. He promised it. You shall receive the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you. Now, people today, the reason that they don't receive that is because it interferes with their spiritual life that they desire to live. The Bible said that the world, man loves darkness more than light, because their deeds are evil. And a person who loves to walk in darkness and do evil things, loves evil works, cannot love the Holy Spirit. Because the Bible said, if you love the world or the things of the world, the love of God is not even in you. Amen. I want us to follow carefully, because there is something the prophet is trying to bring out. These two paragraphs that we read, the prophet says he has always taught that if someone was thoroughly taught and the person repent and from their heart they believe on God with all that is within them, that when they are baptized, immediately the Holy Spirit will come upon them. He said, because He promised to do so. Amen. I want to read now from Luke here, from paragraph 60. That is even becoming Pentecost in the churches. It's becoming to the Pentecostal realms that they are always promising something that they never get to it. It's always that every fellow has a different sensation and make it, whether it's scriptural or not, and they are promising something that they never do get to it, until it seems like it's got to a place to where there doesn't seem to be any sincerity. The people don't get down to that real kernel of sincerity. The English word of sincerity has lost its value to the people, or by the people's way of living. It has lost its sincerity to them, and they don't seem to understand. Even to our confessions. Now I want you people that are coming, there was to be a prayer line after the service, or here, or on the tape. I want you to listen close now for a moment to this quotation. Unless you are deeply sincere, and you cannot be sincere until you are positive, understand. If you are presuming or guessing or hoping so, then there cannot be a depth of sincerity that God requires. If faith is not a hope so, it could be right. It's got to be absolutely amen. It's your ultimate. It's your absolute. It is the thing that you are tied to. See, you have to come to your ultimate that it is the truth. It is nothing but the truth. And it must be thus. And then when you realize that in your mind, then you've got to approach it with your whole life, soul, body, and all that is in you. Just completely sell out everything to it. As Jesus so graciously taught us in the man buying pears, and he found the one of great price, and he sold all his others to get to it. All the truths and everything that he had, though they were good pears, this one meant all to him. And when you find God's ultimate is what? A promise upon a certain thing, you must know first that it is God's word, and that the thing that you are seeing being done is God. There is no maybe so, it could be, it looks like it might be, it is God. Then when you get to that spot, then that is the pearl of great price. You must get away from anything that anybody else tells you contrary to it. You must not look to what man has achieved. You must look to what God has said and what he promised and see him do it. Then that is your ultimate right there. And then everything that you are, everything that you was, everything that you hope to be must be placed upon this just as though it was death and life to you at that moment. Amen. I think one of the things that keeps our people from being healed is the lack of confession, is the lack of sincere confession. Now, for instance, you know, we have the former reading I read from, he cared for you. There is one point the prophet made there. And that point is that one of the reasons that people don't get the comforter is because they know it will interfere with the type of life they want to live. There is a reservation somewhere about the life they want to live that they don't want anything to affect yet. In other words, whatever God wants to do, he should allow me to achieve this first. There are things I want to achieve. There are things I want to get to. There is a life I want to enjoy first, before that one. No, for instance, maybe young fellows that look at it, they are teenagers, and that all these people that are old people, 40, 50, 60, 70, them, that they have enjoyed their own time. No, somebody met the prophet like that. He said, the reason why you are preaching what you are preaching the way you are preaching it is because you are an old man. He said, if you are somebody of my age, you won't be talking like that. In other words, he is telling the prophet that when he was young, he has enjoyed his own time. Now he's trying to hold on them that are young, that is least their own time, not to also enjoy what he has enjoyed. Then the prophet said, when he asked for his age, he discovered that he himself was younger than his present age when he had been preaching what he's preaching. And he told him that. But the prophet is the one talking, I'm not the one. He is saying that there is a reservation there, that the life that the comforter will give, that some people feel it will interfere with the life they want to live. That is the prophet. That is one point I don't want you to elude us. Another point is what is bringing up from this other sermon of Ikere Diukia is lack of sincere confession. Let's go on. Now, for instance, this may sound a little bad, but I don't mean it in this way. But looking at my wife sitting here, if I would go out there today and throw my arms around some other woman and make love to her, and I know then, after I did that I was wrong, so wrong, now, of course, my comforter will keep me from doing that. See? But I mean, if I did that, and it happened that I did it or something similar to it, and then I know the first thing is to say to my wife before I can say to God, forgive me, because I sinned against her. If you come to the altar and remember you have hurt, go make that right first before you offer your gift. So I've got to go to her. I believe in confession is straightening up also. It isn't true confession unless it is. It is not a true confession unless it is true confession. What the prophet is saying is that it is true confession, sincere confession, that God will accept. It means that it is possible for somebody to confess and God did not accept it. All right. What if I say now, I'm going to confess to you that I've done wrong. I say, good Lord, oh friend of mine, you know, that I know you really well. Praise God. Hallelujah. I think you are a good old fellow. Forgive me, you know, old friend. I didn't mean it that way. See? Now, you say that is sacrilegious. It is. To make a confession like that, it is. But what if I go say, Lord, I didn't mean to do it just that way. And you help me, and I won't do it again. He will refuse my sacrifice until I first go and make that right with my wife. Then what if I come to her with the same irreverence and say, oh girl, oh friend of mine, oh mother of my children, Oh, sweetheart. You know, we've been old chums for a long time. Say, what if I put my hands around another woman? And what do you say about it, old kid? Will you forgive me? I imagine how she will look. She will think, what has happened to my husband? See, now, the first thing, she wouldn't know whether I was kidding or whether I wasn't. And you don't go that way to make a confession to your fellow man or God. You go with the depth of sincerity, with godly sorrow of your sin. First, you must be sorry. I must tell her, sweetheart, come here. It may mean the rest of our married life. The woman that I live with as my sweetheart and how I have loved you all these years. But now you may leave me from this on. You may not stay with me. You may not accept me. And I'm knowing that. But here, to make it right, I got to get right. I got to tell her with the depths of my heart. Then I've got to tell God the same way. And tell both her and God with the sincerity that I'll never do it again by the grace of God. Now, one of the main things that God wants to actually extract from us when we maybe do wrong or whatsoever, or want somebody coming to God, is that promise. He wants to see the determination that you will not go that way again. Because repentance is to make a U-turn. From the way one has been going, you now turn around and you face the opposite direction and never to go back to the old vomit. That's why the prophet taught us of when you cross bridge, you break bridges. Amen. Then I've got to tell God the same way. Okay, I think I've read that. All right. Don't just... Now, I might be able to put it over her and she, see, won't see. Maybe my speech to her will convince her, but my speech won't convince God. He looks in my heart and he knows. And after all, just a few more years with her, if God permits, I will be taken out of this world. But with God, it is eternity. So I must be deeply sincere with God. And then if I am sincere, he will hear me. But if I'm not sincere, there is no need of me wasting God's time listening to me. And that is where it has come to today amongst people. There doesn't seem to be the depth of sincerity that they ought to have. And I believe that a man or woman coming to be prayed for should first confess everything that they have done and make everything right. Because you see, you notice a lot of times on the platform, you notice watch how far away the thus said the Lord is. See, the people, the vision will materialize, of course, with their faith. God promised that by a gift. But the healing is something different. See, God recognizes it then. See, the discernment is by a gift that God has given the prophet. Whether you like it or not, it will tell whatever is there. It will tell the sickness. If there is sin there, it will tell. If there is whatsoever an hindrance, it will tell. What has happened. All those things, prophet says sometimes that it is to help the person that is being prayed for to help their faith. I was listening to a tape and the prophet was talking to the person. And when he mentioned where the person come from, mentioned the person's name, then give the address of the house of that person. I said, good. All those things is to help the person's faith. But there are some people that even with the discernment, they still not have faith. Now, the prophet told us here, I think, yes, I'm close to it. Let me just read. All right. Now we notice that is the people making their confession has got to come with deepness of sincerity. I ain't got time to read it, but it's in Birmingham, New York, I believe. I've got that wrong. Yeah, Birmingham, I believe it's right. The place where the Edicott Shoe Company is there, Birmingham. I believe it's called Birmingham. That's right. New York. We was there in the Edicott Johnson Shoe Place, a big auditorium, and was having a meeting there. And one morning, Billy Paul, next door to me, real cold winds blowing, and I found among the people a lack of sincerity, seemed like. And I wonder why. Here was one man that was it. Purpose, one man in particular I'm speaking of. The man had a great affliction, and it was he this night standing there, and before we left, 5 days, the affliction was back to him again.
See, because in the presence of the Holy Spirit, he took that off of him. The prophet made a statement somewhere, he said, all that comes here, he said, all of them are healed. He said, but what happens when will you go off? He says, between you and God. That is according to your faith. If everything is clear in that person's life, that will determine what will happen to the person after the prayer. But in the presence of that gift, anyone that comes there, except if there is a sin that is hidden, that is, of course, the pillar of fire will bring it out also. Once it is out, the person is healed, but when it gets down, for that healing to be sustained, it has to be that everything is clear between the person and God. If not, he goes out of that building with that same sickness. All right. See, because in the presence of the Holy Spirit, he took that off of him. Just like he did this young woman a while ago out here in the yard. The young man last night, see? But there must be a deep sincerity to know that the God that can take it away from you now, with that same anointing on you, can keep it away from you. See? And then the Holy Spirit spoke to me one morning about daylight and said, get up on the flat platform of somewhere and bring these people up there and make them confess everything that they have done before you pray for them. See? The deepness of sincerity. God wanted to show his mercy to them because God knew that some of them were not sincere with the confession they were making. And God deals with our heart. It's our heart that God deals with. And once God did not see that sincerity in our heart, nothing happens to our prayers. I'm reading these things because this is prayer meeting. And there is no point coming to just make noise. Look, you can pray for 5 minutes with sincerity, and you achieve more than you can do with 5 hours of sweating, shouting, and screaming, shaking everywhere. That is not what Satan is after. That is not what Satan, what moves him. What moves him, it is when he sees the reality that God approves. That is what drives Satan back. When he sees that one, he can't stand. Alright. Unless the world repents, it's God will perish. See? And confession is what the world needs today, is honest confession. It's like medicine for disease. We all can read on the bottle what kind of a medicine it is and what disease is to cure. But you know, the reading, the directions, I'm going to apply that to like the Bible. Our schools and seminaries can read all the word. But you know, just reading the directions and how to take it, it doesn't cure the disease. Is God the medicine? So is God to be taken? So a man can say, I'm a theologian. Say, now don't speak to me about such and such. I know the scriptures. I know that the Bible speaks thus and thus, that he that heareth my word, that's St. John 5:24. For instance, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has eternal life. Abraham said, King James put it, if everlasting life was his, rightly eternal. He said, because he has believed. Many people say they believe. Now that is true. The scripture is correct. I'm reading the prescription. I'm reading what the prescription is and the antidote for my sin. But can I take it? Can I believe? I might say I believe, but do I believe? That is the next thing. Just read it and know the directions doesn't cure the disease. The trouble is that in our case, we won't take what the remedy says do. We got the remedy, but we won't take it. We say we do because we can read it, but to really take it, we won't do it. We don't do it. See, the gospel is the same way, a medicine in this case, and the remedy has been proven to cure the patient, and the patient reads all about the discovery of this drug, and they know every ounce of medicine that is in it. They know the scientist's name that found this certain drug, like the soft vaccine and so forth. If we know all the world about it, but refuse to take it, it won't help us. It won't help us. But then, how we say, but we took it. And if you say you took it, and the patient shows no result, he didn't take it. Here is where mortar and God are going to be at loggerhead arguing together. God said repent, I say I repent. And the result does not follow. And God said that if I repent, this is the what I will see. And I didn't see it. Then who is lying? Somebody must be lying between me and God. Is it that God is a liar or I am a liar? This is an old sermon that is very old, but it remains the same. You can't dance around about this thing. Okay. I may take 10 more minutes because I have just a few paragraphs. No, I've been trying to be reading. I want to read it through to the way I'm reading. May the Lord be our help. All right. Try to see. Okay. That's all. How, if that clock on the wall wasn't such a busybody, see, I'd like to stay here and bring down real strong for our people. Since the gospel has been proved these things, and they claim they take it, and they show they didn't take it, how can a person read the scriptures upon the little thing that I talk about women with the bob hair, wearing shorts and so forth like that? How can they call themselves Christian when the very message itself says it is different? See how you say, but I dance in the spirit, I spoke in tongues. That don't mean one thing. Your own life proves that you didn't take it. You say you took it, but you didn't. For you are still showing all the symptoms that the medicine is supposed to cure. And the medicine in the gospel line is a guaranteed cure. It's got to be. Now you see, you got to show results. May I say again this evening? I don't think there's anything in the line of righteousness the message talk about that we have not preached. But we still see the symptoms. We still see some of our sisters use this. I don't know. We know that there's no Nigerian woman that used to have golden color hair. Is it possible? Do we have? It is man has tampered with it. So, okay, we have said, okay, the prophet made provision, you can use attachment, fine. But he said, use the one that look like the one that you get before. Is that what people are using? Now, that same person want to come and tell God that I'm sincere. Is the person sincere? You got to show results. You take a person that says, yeah, I'm a believer, I believe. Let the gospel light strike them. Brother, they take it right now. And they will show results, certainly. You will not see that man in any more pool rooms. You will not see him out here with a cigarette in his hand. You won't see him drinking. Oh, no. You won't see him flirting with other women. No, no, no. I don't care how much they throw their female flesh before him. He will turn his head towards the skies and look towards Christ. What is it? Shows that the remedy took effect. And if you don't take effect, you say, well, I know I took it. Well, then where are you then today? Where are you at then today? You are dying. You show, I'm looking at you as diagnosing your case by the Bible, that you are still in sin. And the wages of sin is death. Don't think it has to be made any plainer. See? Your own actions prove that you didn't take it. You thought you did. The prophet said, amen. You might have been all sincere in doing it, but you didn't do it. For if you did, God promised it will take effect on you. And the old sin is still there. The old Adamic nature still lingers there. The old unbelief. Yet you try to make yourself before your fellow man say, well, I'm a believer. Oh, glory to God. Yes, I'm a believer. But you see, it didn't help you any. Maybe the patient itself wasn't even predestinated to the message. If it did, it will never take effect. That is, if the patient is not predestinated to the message, that is one of the heaviest statements I found in this message. It's a very terrible statement. Not terrible in the fact that out of play, but it's a very heavy statement. You know what the prophet is saying? This is the message. The prophet is saying that whether that person that say he take it and did not take effect, whether the person is not predestined to this message, whether it's not he ordained unto life, that's what he's saying. But look at that little immoral woman when the light struck her. There was something laying there to take care of her condition. See, if we believe and sincerely confess, this remedy of God's way takes effect. God has a provided way for these things. You know, when the pastor was preaching on Sunday, and I met him in the room, I said, this additional statement I've had to this extent before, but this additional statement you said, he said, yeah, that one is there, but he just kept. I said, And he said, now inside this message, of course, I have an idea of where the something, and I told him, and he said, yes, that is the same. That's where it is. May the God of heaven have mercy upon our souls. God has a provided way for these things. Now, see, man will go and say, well, I joined the church. That settles it with me. That isn't God's provided way. God's provided way is repentance, confession, and showing results. Bringing forth fruit, meat for repentance. Showing sincerity. If you people will just do that this morning, that's going to be prayed for. And you people that hear this tape, that is we now. All over the world. And after this tape is played, and the minister or the person that is playing it in the congregation groups out in the jungles or wherever you are that is playing it, we first make your confession clear and then come with nothing in your heart at all but faith and be prayed for. There is the mercy will take effect. The Bible said that let every man's word be a lie and let my own be the truth. God is the one that is truthful. We are liars. Jesus said, repent, every one of you. I mean, Peter did on the day of Pentecost. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Listen again to what the prophet said in the other sermon of a carrier for you. That one was preached in 1960. This one was preached in 1963 after the cease. When you tolerate, repent, and believe on the Lord, and are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, you make God a liar if you don't receive the Holy Ghost. When I read those statements, it tears me. It tears me. It tears me. Jesus said this, the last commission to his church. Say, these signs shall follow them that believe. If they lay their hands on the sick, they shall recover. And you see those signs following a believer, and you come up and that believer lays hands on you and something doesn't take place, then there is something wrong with your belief. The believer, God promised a provided way. We try to find comfort by saying, I don't have to listen. No, that is true. You don't have to listen. But if you are predestinated to eternal life, you will listen to it and you will rejoice to it. It is your comfort. Is the thing that you have longed for all your life. Is that prayer? You are ready to forsake everything and you want it because you know it's God's loving care for you. It's something to settle the same question, to settle the unbelief, to settle everything to you if you want it. It is he that is really sick and knows he is sick that haunts a physician. See? Not he that is not sick. He doesn't need one, Jesus said, but if it is those who are sick, if you can realize your condition, then you got to do as he said do. Then it is God to take place, or God told something that was wrong. Can God lie? So many people sometimes, healing services, this is the last paragraph. You don't start from the bottom of it. You've got to get a life cleaned up. You've got to be in condition. You've got to really say, yes, I believe it. Like here in our own prayer line, people that are sick are waiting for if one person will write a request and go front. That is when people will be doing and be joining the queue one by one. To me, you didn't make preparation. You just come accidentally because you just see people coming out. So you are coming on the faith of the first person that want to be prayed for. Everybody that come to church that know that I am sick and I want to be prayed for All of them should write their request. Yes. If it is actually that you actually know that that is God's provided way and you will receive it. Not peeping when you are asked to buy, you are peeping. It means that you are not praying. You are disobeying one instruction of God and you want to come and be praying for with disobedience. You are not praying. We all do things in our own way. We think that God will come. God will not come to our level. You've got to be in condition. You've got to really say, yes, I believe it. And that is got to be from your heart. Then you, nobody have to baby you around. Say, now, oh, brother, brother dear, sister dear, you ought to do this, you ought to do that. You are a believer. There is nothing can take it away from you. I don't care what anybody else will say. What any consulist, any comforter, what any doctor, what any hospital, what any diagnosis will say, you still don't believe it. You just know it. There is no need of saying anything else about it. You know it, and that is the genuine thing. May the Lord be merciful unto us. Part of this sermon itself, some few paragraphs, the prophet said that the previous day, when he was preaching, when he finished and he went out, he met a sister that was a mother carrying a baby with her. And he said that the woman said that, I wanted to listen to that sermon really bad. He said, but my baby was disturbing. So she has to carry her baby out because she doesn't want the baby to disturb others. Even though she has said wants to get it, but she doesn't want her own baby to disturb another person. So she, and then something spoke to the prophet that this is not just incident. This is God's providential something. So right there, the prophet asked the woman, are you a Christian? She said, no, that I hope to be someday. He said, don't put it off. The prophet talked with her that same place, pray with her that same place, the woman was saved. The prophet said, right attitude. Because she cared for others. But here, the child will cry until people will say that carry it out. No revelation. When you know your child is part of preparation to come to church, first of all, you pray for yourself, you pray for your baby. That every evil demon of disturbance, that God should deal with it and silence it. If you do it sincerely, come at the right time, pray also like that one, you will see something different there. This gospel we are carrying is not denominational carryover. It's a special message from the throne of God that has power inside of it to bring to pass the thing that God has promised. But when you fashion out your own way, you won't see any results. And what that means is that you did not take the message. Because it's not showing results. We have come to pray. I wish everybody was present to listen to it. Nevertheless, those people that are here, I pray the Holy Spirit will sink it down under the fifth rib, that nothing will uproot it. If you want to make anything, Rabbi said that you don't come on the basis of your righteousness to God. When you are sick and you are to be prayed for, first of all, search your life. If you cannot see anything particularly, pray concerning sins that you don't even, that you cannot remember. That, oh God, as at now, nothing is coming to mind, but if there be any way I've offended you, please be merciful to me. You do it from the depth of your sincerity. But when you want to claim that I'm a believer, I'll be righteous, I know I'm holier, that you won't get nothing. That is the message. You got to bring yourself down and lay before Jehovah that you are nothing, and without him you are helpless. And there is nothing you can present before him, righteousness or no nothing. It is only him that is righteous. When you come like that with that humility and sincerity, then you will see something happen. Are you seeking for the Holy Ghost? You have had a prophet. The standard that the prophet actually put in place, like I was telling the boy and the girl I baptized on Sunday, is that when you are baptized like that, that same day you can receive the Holy Ghost, depending on the preparations. that you have made. May the Lord be gracious unto us. Shall we bow our heads?
He cared for you. He cared for you. True sunshine or shadow. He cared for you. Jesus cared. He cared for you. Oh, he cared for you. Oh, true sunshine of shine.
While heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, if there be someone that would like to be remembered in prayer about the few things that we have heard, I don't know which part, I don't know which way. The God of heaven and earth is the only one that can see our hearts. He sees our heart and he knows our need, and he knows exactly the area where we are expressing desire for his help. Just lift up your hand to God as we offer this word of prayer. Believe only with all your heart. God is righteous. His word is holy. He's potent. He carries the power and the authority to put Satan under chain on our behalf. And it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Gracious eternal Father, thank you very much for these few broken words. Lord, I read from the message that you sent to us in these last days through your messenger that you vindicated with the pillar of fire. Uncountable signs and wonders, uncountable visions that none ever fail. Lord Jesus is one that is bringing out this diagnosis. None of us can do it. Look upon us tonight, Heavenly Father. You are God, and you change it not. Forgive us our trespasses. Forgive us our sins. Be gracious unto us. Wherever we have failed you, have mercy upon us. Help us, O living God, to be very deeply sincere in all our approaches unto you. If you can tell the prophet of the hour that we know has been very sincere, at a point you told him that he needs to be more sincere, what about we? Be our help, Father, and show your mercy unto us. Forgive us all our foolishness. Let your mercy fall upon us. Have your way, Father. Whatever need that is behind the hands of your sons and daughters that are up, Lord, maybe 90-something% in the building, I pray, dear Father, you that can see beyond the hands, whose eyes seeth every little thought in our heart, I pray that you visit each person and grant unto each whatsoever they are in need of, that may the hands to go up. Let it be, Father. Meet us at the point of our knees. As we go into prayer, take us to that depth of sincerity. Help us to come before you with utmost sincerity, with all humility, with all honesty. Put us in the condition that you can hear us, dear Father, so that we can leave this building this evening with the substance of our request. Let it be, dear Father, every entrance of the enemy, when they will see our connection with you, definitely they have to give way. Help us, dear Father. Take the glory unto yourself. Take the honor to yourself. Bless those at the altar. Grant unto them the desires of their need. We ask these petitions with faith and thanksgiving in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you very much for bringing us, Lord, to the end of this midweek prayer meeting tonight. Lord, we thank you for gathering us together with the rest of your people in thy name, O Lord, in this tabernacle. Thank you for the song service, thank you for the song leader, thank you for the blessings in the exhortation, O Lord our God. Your word has gone forth. We know it can never return unto you void. We just ask for mercy. We ask for grace. We ask for that godly sincerity and honest heart in everything we are asking from you. Have thy way in our individual's life. From the oldest of us to the least of us, Lord, ministers, officers, laity, family by family, individual husband and wife, may you help us, Heavenly Father. May these blessings, Heavenly Father, ever remain permanent in our lives. May the evil bed of the enemy, because of lack of understanding, never prevail, O Lord our God, to devour these things out of our heart, O Lord. May it bring forth its expected fruit of righteousness in the lives of every individual. Grant it, Heavenly Father. Wherever people are lacking revelation, may you bestow it upon them, O Lord. Thank you, our Master, for your grace upon your servant, O Lord our God. Everything you prepared before the foundation of the world, we pray, O Lord, that you replenish him of the virtue that has gone forth out of him. Lift up, O Lord, the horn of his ministry to the glory and honor of your name. Thank you, our Master. Remember our pastor too, O Lord. May you be with him, O Lord, in this journey. Every aspect of it, from one place to another, may you be with him, O Lord. May your name be glorified, Lord. Use him to be a channel of blessing unto your people. Thank you for answering our prayers concerning our brother to have brought back home safely from Bakatari. Glory be to your name. Help him, Heavenly Father. Strengthen him, quicken his mortal body, Lord. Lord, God of glory, by whichever means we are going back to our homes, O Lord, through public transport, those riding Okada, riding Marwa, riding taxi, buses, Heavenly Father, private vehicles, far and long distances, may you be with your people, Lord. Those that live, O Lord, in short places, may you be with us all together. Thank you, our Master. May no evil whatsoever befall any of your children, Lord. Help us to meditate on these things that you have had, O Lord. Father, we pray that you not just eat with it, O Lord our God, nor drink with it, O Lord, nor talk about it and just forget everything about it. Father, help us, our Father. We bless your wonderful name. All the requests your people have brought unto you, thank you very much. They are receiving attention. We pray, O Lord our God, we will see the manifestation of the answers to the glory and honor of your name. Blessed be your wonderful name forevermore. Help our sister in the journey next week before her. See her through, Lord. Every heart desire of parents, see, may you grant unto them, Lord. Thank you, our Master. We worship and adore your name. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray, Lord, with all faith and with all thanksgiving. Amen. Amen.
The Lord bless you. You are welcome, sir. Yeah, we are grateful unto God for the midweek prayer meeting. Shall we rise up? The service is closed. We'll sing from hymn number 83. I found a friend in Jesus. It's everything to me.
Of the valley.